Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to another episode of Mysteries with a History, where I'll take you on a wild ride into the unknown, the strange, and the mysterious. Like you, I have questions, and like you, I want answers. This topic that we're going to be talking about today is definitely a mysterious one with quite a mystery, and quite a history as well. For some, it is just nonsense, and for others, it's a hidden human gift we all share, while others fear it. Remote viewing is a field that even the U.S. government, among with others, has had a hand in. The CIA with Project Stargate, the average civilian, and scientists, along with others, that want to know what is happening out there in space, on the dark side of the moon, on Mars, and even to look into the future and the past of this world and others. I would love to say hi to everyone that is watching this live with me here today. Everyone in the live chat that's making it lively. All my moderators, Zenza, Bill, Zofa, Great Troll, Akashi, Chris, which I love your comment. This one right here made me laugh. You always make me smile. Laura, how is everyone doing? I'm happy you guys are here because this is definitely quite an interesting topic. And we're going to get into it because, like I had just mentioned at the very beginning, we even get to see what's happening out there in space on the dark side of the moon, on Mars, and can even look into the past and future, allegedly. But before we dive deep in today's fascinating topic, let me bring in my special co-host, Jimmy Church. Jimmy, where are you? I think he's maybe eating snacks under the table or something. I don't know. You doing okay there, Jimmy? Hey there, Jimmy. Everything okay? How are you doing?
I moved my keyboard over. This morning, it's mounted on a thing underneath the studio furniture, and let me fold up. And hey, everybody, how you doing?
You know, you always have the best entrances to the show. It's either eating or something else.
See, this is the deal. I moved my keyboard over to here so I could be in the center of the screen. It was too far over here, right? And so I needed here, which now I'm just in bliss, man. I have it in the middle, but this whole mounting thing underneath and then cables, and I'm trying to prep for you. And I'm just like, I got to be ready for Christina. She deserves so much more than an off-center keyboard. So anyway, I am here now. I can do that. And I'm centered.
You look snazzy, hey, my friend.
Oh, man, what a crazy day. What a crazy day. All right, I'm good. Remote viewing. Hello, everybody. How you doing? How you doing? Yeah, I had to turn. I thought I was going to come up like this. Hey, you know, with the flashlight. Thank goodness I didn't do that.
Well, just wait until Halloween, you know, when October comes around, which is just next week.
I'm pretty excited for 2 weeks. Ready for Halloween. I think I'm going to be the progressive insurance girl. No, I'm kidding. I want to dress. I could play her though. We have a very similar faith. Yeah, you know, all of my neighbors are geared up. Are you ready for Halloween?
I'm always. It's the best time of the year.
I swear to God, I'm so with you on that. What are you going to be? Have you picked out your costume?
No, not yet. But it'll come to me, and then I'll be knocking on your door for some candy. It's a trick or treat.
I'm so down. I love Halloween. It is, you know, and I talk about this a lot. It is one of my favorite days of the year. Okay, what happened here? Oh, there it is. There it is. I got to move you. See, I need to be centered. I need you in the center. Ah, there you are. Okay.
All right.
My neighbors are ready. I'm not. I've got to get some decorations out. I love Halloween. It is just, it's so much fun. It's one of the perfect holidays of the year. I love it. I love it. I love the costumes. I love the adults getting crazy. Last year was COVID. No Halloween last year, but the year before that, and then we're going to get straight into remote viewing. I had so many kids wearing alien and ET costumes. I was like, this is yeah. Coming up. And so I would go talk to their parents. What's up with this? Well, they're into it. We're the ones into it. Right? We're forcing them to wear. And it was really cool. You know, you get the Freddy Krueger, you've got the Scream, you've got Disney, you know, characters and all. And you're going to get that, and which is fine, clowns and whatever. But E.T. 2 years ago, right? So let's see what happens this year. Let's see if E.T. is going to continue its theme on Halloween.
Well, it might be the most popular costume of the year. But Charles, thank you so much for the super chat. And he says, did Jimmy get the radio frequency from Lou?
You know what? Okay, Charles. That right there is the universe connecting. All right. Okay. Hold on.
Where are you going? Ahead.
Stretch it out, Christina. Stretch it out.
Well, like taffy? I mean, I don't even know how to make taffy.
Remote viewing.
Okay, got it. Okay, so before we get into the absolute fun stuff of UFOs and space, let's start on our lovely home planet and talk about the very basics about what remote viewing is, along with Project Stargate, operated by the CIA. And then hopefully Uncle Jimmy here can give us some fascinating insights on the UFO aspect of remote viewing, which I'm pretty diddly darn excited for. All right, Jimmy.
I'm back.
Where did you go?
Charles, amazing. Oh, wait a minute. Do I look good? My studio lights are off.
You look beautiful.
Do I? Hold on. Let's kick up the beauty a little bit here. Oh, is that better? It's the same.
It's because you are the light.
Oh, man. Okay, you are good. You are good. Points to Christine for that. Okay, there we go. Okay. So Charles, I wasn't planning on this, obviously caught me by surprise. I just got a set of radios, and Mark Sims is into this project right now. So here's radio number one. It was in its charger over there. I just got everything set up. So it was in the charger. It is ready. I've got radio number two here. All right, there it is. This is going to hit the charger next. And yes, I'm talking to Lou and others about this project. and about what's going on. You can see this is charged up. This is on and ready to go. So I have the gear, I have the frequencies, I have the project, and I'm in communication with those out there about this project. And as it moves forward, it's pretty cool. And I hope it's pretty cool. And I'll let everybody know. Attention, Kmart shoppers.
Do you have Kmart?
No, I don't know. I'm talking to ET. Okay. But yeah, there you go, Charles. I'm on the game. This is it's a really cool radio. It's got everything on it.
Well, Charles is asking, so what is the radio frequency? Can you share that with us?
144.1. 144.1. Now,
alrighty.
And that's from memory. I've got the entire project and stuff mapped out, and the individuals that are involved with this. And yes, I reached out to Lou. That correspondence will stay on the down low until I'm ready to. I want to go out and do some testing, and then I'll pull everybody else in and I'll make the announcement. I'll do it right here with Christina. She'll get the scoop.
A vanilla scoop of ice cream.
Yes, I saw your pictures of that. I almost jumped in, and I'm in large. I'm like, what flavors are those?
I like it simple so I can add all the toppings. But you know what? Today we're talking about remote viewing, not about my favorite topic, which is ice cream. That'll be for another day.
Yes, yes. We'll do that. Look, ice cream is a worldwide social phenomenon that stirs emotions starting at a very early age until you hit the grave. Ice cream is a part of our lives, and that's it. Yeah. Everybody's got their own deal with it. I totally get it. I have mine. You have yours. And we will, I promise, a full show on ET and ice cream. Okay.
Oh, hopefully. Wait. Before we start, quick question. Curious George says, is that megahertz or gigahertz?
Oh, man. Come on.
People want to know. People want to know.
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly don't know. You want me to go in the into my other office and pull paperwork and come back? No, let's get to remote viewing. I will let you know if it's giga or mega tonight on Fade to Black. I'll put it in my show notes.
All right. I'll be there. I'll be watching. I'll be listening. It better be there.
So remote viewing,
right,
Christina, this is what I really dig about you. You're out there trying to figure out life. And when you start to go down these different roads, right, and you're hitting forks in the road, and those forks hit forks, and you're starting off with wherever in UFOs, and then it just branches off. And eventually that road traveled. That fork, as it branches off, you're going to go right down the remote viewing path. What led you here, and why remote viewing today?
Well, I had actually had this very, very light conversation on an interview I did with John Russell, who's a psychic, and we briefly talked about remote viewing, and I'm thinking, you know what? That would kind of be a pretty diddly darn cool topic to bring up for our show. And then I texted you as soon as I decided it. But I want to talk about the very, very basics of what remote viewing is. Do you want to tell a definition, or shall I tell a definition of what it
is?
Well,
your definition is always the straight ahead, pragmatic, black and white version without controversy and opinion. And I really enjoy that. So before we go into my woo definition of remote viewing and my fascination with it, I'm going to hand it to you first. What is remote viewing, Christina?
All right. So the definition here that I saw on multiple different locations, pretty much during the Cold War years, which is in the 1970s, the U.S. and the Soviet Union are known to have been spying on each other during the services of psychic remote viewing, with the specific objective of gathering intelligence information of military significance. In simple terms, remote viewing is the ability of human participants to acquire information about remote geological targets otherwise inaccessible by any known sensory means. And that is the very black and white definition.
Pragmatic, dare I say dry. Okay, now let's go. And that was awesome, Christina, because that does explain somewhat what is actually going on here. So now I'm going from memory, everybody, but let me lay it out. Okay, I've had a few cups of coffee today, so I should be pretty sharp.
What kind of coffee?
Fade to black blend, man. Is this remote viewing? The term was created by Ingo Swann. Now, we'll come back to Ingo Swann in a second. He's no longer with us. He's somebody that I've always wanted to interview. Just a genius. Okay, but Ingo Swann. So if we back up, there was I'm going to say from the mid 60s, where there was a lot of enlightenment and there was a lot of talk and a lot of terms that were starting to go mainstream. Telepathy, ESP, a consciousness. Obviously, there was a drug culture that became popular, and LSD and other things. But it was the awakening of the mind. And while this was going on in the mid 60s, I was too young. It's not like I was running around doing any of this. But while that was happening, there was a lot of talk about crystals, mind, meditation. Things were going on in India and around the world, and certainly here in the United States. So a group of individuals, and I'm going to not for any other reasons, but the factual side of this, San Francisco was the center point of a lot of this awakening and a lot of this talk, and physicists were getting together and not only discussing consciousness and how do I put this, the connectivity of the universe. They were wondering about this and applying science to these ideas. And San Francisco was the Mecca for this. Well, so was Stanford University in its location. It's right there. And Ingo Swann, Russell Targ, the Hal Puthoff that we know today in the UFO circles, to the Stars Academy, that Hal Puthoff, to your audience, get together and start to formulate the possibility of a scientific method for looking at other locations that were independent of your own. And could you see or make contact to another location? It could be another room. You're sitting here, the room next door, hallway, your neighbor's house, or maybe even another city, right? New York, right? Or another country. And as this started to come together, now the questions of ESP and telepathy and the power of the mind, Uri Geller is coming on the scene. Of course, he was out of Israel, but he was influential, not only here in the United States, but different countries around the world. And people were really, interested in the subject. And that's when, the Stanford Research Institute, SRI, gets involved. And they get a collected group of individuals over there to see if they could remote view wasn't a word yet, see into another location. As that year, and it's 1971, by the time that was done, remote viewing was born and christened with its name, remote viewing. And the Stanford Research Institute started to move forward. At that time, They got the attention of and funding of the CIA. The CIA was really interested in all of this, and there was a lot of reasons for it. There is a lot of money, resources, and life and death that is involved when you bring in a spy or some agent of any capacity and get them inserted into another country to snoop around and find out information. Certainly going into the KGB or marching around the Kremlin and trying to get into some head of an agency at the Soviet Union, could be Israel, could be Great Britain, could be Japan, could be China, any country, to get into their embassy or their parliament or the executive offices of somebody from head of state and looking at pieces of paper on a desk is going to be impossible. And if you got it done and somebody got caught, somebody's going to die. And there's that issue. Also, huge amounts of time is invested to get somebody into the community as a spy to be, you know, it would take years. Okay.
It's dangerous.
So, but remote viewing, if successful, erases all of that. Now, I'm just talking about a CIA, KGB's doing the same thing. They are trying to get into the White House or the United States Embassy in Moscow, whatever, to spy with the mind. So that was that application. But if this also worked, what about remote viewing the moon? What about remote viewing Mars? What about remote viewing the distant past? Is that possible? Go back to the building of the Great Pyramids of Egypt and remote view that. Remote view the future. All of these applications are laid out as the SRI, the Stanford Research Institute, is sitting around these tables taking notes. And they weren't whiteboarding back then, but they were chalkboarding. This is back before electricity, Christina. This is 1971. But coming up with these creative ideas, how, if successful, and it certainly appeared that they were making some pretty significant achievements of this, if successful, this process could apply everywhere. Suddenly, not only did Uri Geller get involved, but they found out at SRI that everybody's got this ability. Everybody has this talent. All you have to do is learn the process. Some of the most successful remote viewers out of SRI, and I've interviewed you know, quite a few people that were involved back then, were secretaries, assistants, office staff. You know, let's check you out. Come in. This is how you do it. And the next thing you know, whatever, you know, Hal Puthoff is driving across San Francisco, going to Golden Gate Park to watch the Grateful Dead play, whatever. And she's like, well, I see a stack of amps. I see a guy named Cherry Garcia playing guitar in a tie-dye. These things were happening, and the results were coming back very quickly, and the CIA suddenly thought, if there was a way to get this applied so we can get into the Soviet Union's military and find out how many missiles they actually have, what are their objectives in Eastern Europe, to countries in Africa and South America and Central America, what is going on, China included.
But China much later.
Well, you know, geopolitics comes into play, and spy versus spy is the game that has been going on since before the crucifixion. You always spied. And what a great tool this could be. So that is, that's my overall definition of remote viewing and how cool it is. And let's go ahead and move forward. But as you, and this is for the audience, let's see, I've remote viewed. I want to know how to say your name.
I'm pretty sure that's how I say it. I say it Zofa.
Zofa. And she's paying in pounds, so which means she's across the pond. Okay, so Zofa, if you've remote view me right now and tell me what is in front of me right now. What did I just move?
Right here. Post-it note.
No, that's too easy. Anybody could say that and be right. But no, what did I just move?
Well, Zofa, thank you so much for the 5 pounds. And Akashi Chris, thank you for the super sticker. Y'all are so awesome. And there's one comment that I read, let me find it, by Casper. And it says, Stranger Things has remote viewing as its main premise. And what I found really interesting about that, because I genuinely really enjoyed the show Stranger Things. I binged watched all the series until the last one. But like he says, you know, remote viewing was its main premise. And in doing that, a rip was made between our world and the upside down world. And then in the show, it definitely looked like an 80s version of a CIA laboratory. So I found that I'm really happy you brought that up, Casper, because a lot of people didn't really catch that. And for this conversation that we're having today, it could not be more perfect.
I'm looking at everybody's responses. What did I move? Pretty close there, the last one from Christine Emerson. Close, no cigar. But it was It was next to a crystal skull. And I almost did move a crystal skull. So that was pretty good. But back to Zofa. Sorry about that. I'm very interested because, you know, she mentioned the Monroe Institute and jumping into these classes. I haven't taken any remote viewing classes, although I have threatened to do so many times. And when the moment, you know what, I have had remote viewing classes at my conferences that I put on right there. I could have did it and I didn't do it. That's my own fault, but I will do it when I get the chance. And I promise that I will, because I believe, and we're going to circle back to some of the proof that I've had directly remote viewing. I wanted another answer from Zofa before I do the big review.
Until then, I want to say hello to Creepy Little Book. Pete, how are you doing? And I definitely want to get you and Jimmy in touch because his work and research and shows are amazing. I think he would be like a really bomb guest on your show, Jimmy. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. And sure. April, thank you for the super chat. It says, don't forget to smash that like button, friends. Christina works very hard for us. Thank you. Well, with Jimmy by my side, it makes the work a little bit easier, but I do spend like hours upon hours of research for all of my shows so that I don't sound stupid and that we give you the best information possible.
I moved this. A little golfing ET. A little golfing ET. That's a golf bag. So that's what I moved, but it would have been really great. Because I remote viewing is something that I believe is real. And when I say real, you know, I mean, it's like what some people think it's unreal, that it's not. No. So it's not that. I believe that everybody has the ability to do it. You can learn it just like anything else, learning how to ride a bike, right?
Absolutely. But when I was reading about this and even watching documentaries on it, it is believed that some are more inclined to it than others. Just kind of like how some people are better at playing an instrument than others. Like, for example, I don't know how to play an instrument. And if you put a piano in front of me, I'll be like, the best you're going to get is like hot crust buns. But for those that, some people just have an innate skill more than others, but I think it's possible for anyone to learn, allegedly, by those that have taught it and for those that are learning it as well. And I would like to say, Zofa says, my technique is based on the later developed one by the U.S. Army and Monroe Institute, so I'd need half an hour to get into a meditative state.
Okay, we're going to be here for half an hour, Zofa, so get meditating.
Do you want to pick another object just to make it a little fun?
Yeah. Well, she's got to get meditating.
It's a he.
Oh, it's a he? Oh, I'm sorry about this. Okay. I'm so sorry. There you go. There's the new object. And
okay, I have one too.
Okay, good. Now, let's discuss another aspect of this, Christina. And, I know that you've done a lot of research on this, and there is, the factual timeline, how this happened, and continues, through to this day. And I'm talking about funding, the research, the staffs, and how this happened. Well, if we go back originally, to 1971, SRI, Ingo Swann, Hal Puthoff, Russell Targ. Russell's great. He's been on the show a couple of times, and I've hung out with him, and he's absolutely amazing.
And he just made a new iPhone app or a phone app to increase your ESP. That was pretty interesting.
He's one of the smartest. And check this out. I don't know how old he is today. Dude is like 6'8". And he's got to be 80. I'm assuming he's in that neighborhood. But to see somebody that tall at that age, it is crazy cool. And the way that he looks at you and just the intelligence that is there. So back to the timeline.
Again, he was born in 1934.
Yeah, he's 90. Oh my God. 88. Wow. Okay. So 1971, SRI, CIA funded. That goes on under a couple of different versions, but the CIA is right there. The U.S. Army gets involved. Fort Meade, which is, Washington, D.C., and the so tall he can see clear. What am I going to do? That's actually
make a meme.
That's your who on your staff is posting the jokes though. Somebody there's picking out the stuff, and let's see if we can get Jimmy to pause. So then, there was some denial. Not Cairo, not Egyptian denial, but actually here in the United States, where they were. No, it didn't work. It was unsuccessful. We tried the projects but for some reason, it was always funded, was always staffed by a branch of the military and an agency for 25 years that we can all the way through 1995, 1996. Mm-hmm. That's the official funding and paper trail. The remote viewing program exists today inside of the United States by any government agency or branch of the military under another name? Yes, 100% absolutely funded and staffed for so many different reasons. One, it works, right? It is real. But two, it's cheap. It's cheap. Are you going to send over, a team of, SEAL Team 6 and insert, somebody behind enemy lines? Or are you going to have a remote viewer get you the information that you need and stay right here in the United States and there's no threat or danger to human life? That's a big deal. You don't want to get caught. You don't want to have an international embarrassment of having one of your agents caught behind enemy lines. All of this comes into play with just remote view Jimmy's kitchen. No, my kitchen is spotless. spotless.
I don't believe.
Oh, I'm bad. You okay? You want to FaceTime, pal? You want me to walk through the kitchen right now? You can walk through my you can walk through my house any day, and it's all good. Okay, it continues today. And there are trails of crumbs of information that we find out all the time that you just know. And I'm talking about in the media that trickles down to us, and they've got this insight. And you're thinking, how did they, who is the spy? Who is in North Korea, right? What spy do we have in North Korea right now in Putin's Moscow? What do we have going on there? You know, we need to really stop with that. That is a remote viewing program that is happening, and it continues right now to this day. For those in the audience, okay, now I'm going to switch this back to Christina right now.
Well, I have a question for you, Jimmy.
Hang on for a second.
Okay.
I'm in the middle of a show right now. Give me 30 minutes and I'll call you right back. I apologize. I'm literally on the air. You want me to show everybody who's calling me?
Sure.
All right, man. Give me 30 minutes.
Okay. 45, maybe.
Can't tell them 45. That'll just make it, you know, 30 minutes. 30 minutes is the safe zone. Right? 30 minutes is the safe zone. If you're on a plane and you are delayed taxiing to takeoff and you're stuck with 200 other people, the pilot will say, we're going to be here for about 30 minutes. Everything is okay. Please enjoy your, thank you for flying with us and choosing us for 30 minutes. That's what they say. They don't go 45. People would lose their minds. We're going to be here for 2.5 hours. We're turning off the air conditioning and there is nothing to drink. No, they're not going to do that. It's 30 minutes. 30 minutes is the safe zone. Christina, as you navigate through life, that tidbit of information that I just gifted you, men have fallen, countries have gone to war for that 30-minute secret. Okay. All right.
Do you think there is like a secret psychic cold war going on then, and including maybe China or Israel or any other nations using remote viewing?
They are all dipping their toes in this water. They have to. First off, they have to keep up with us. They have to keep up with Russia. You've got a guy like Yuri Geller running around who is great, who's fantastic, and others, right, running around. Talking about this and their abilities, and nobody wants to get left behind. Not Israel, not the United Kingdom, not China, nobody. Australia is out there in the middle of nowhere in the South China Sea. They got to have remote viewers. They got to. They didn't get the internet until 2017. You know, so if you look at it in those terms, you have to have remote viewing. Now, which takes me to Christina, the men who stared at goats. Have you seen it?
It sounds familiar, but give me a little bit. Give me a little crumb.
It's a movie about remote viewing starring George Clooney about the Stanford Research Institute and its programs in the U.S. military. The men who stare at goats. Should have been part of your show prep. I know I should have warned you, but
I'll make sure to watch it.
And what's so the movie is, I think just because of the title of the movie, was always considered a comedy, but it certainly had some funny moments and I laughed, but that's probably the program itself. I mean, trying to remote view, trying to get this done, having successes and having these colorful personalities involved with this, it must have been funny on a daily basis. They probably had a good time doing it, but also the success and failures of going on these missions and doing this testing and trying to figure this out was probably a lot of a series of a comedy of errors. But I never viewed that movie as being a comedy. I felt that that was probably pretty close as to how it went down. And for those that participated in the movie and wrote it and researched it, and those that were part of the program at SRI that went and watched it said, you know what? That's pretty accurate. You know, that's how it went down. So, which brings me back to my point. That's a pretty new movie. And I think that when that movie came out and people started to jump in and research remote viewing and what this was all about, probably very quickly realized that this has to be an ongoing program. There has to be dedicated personnel in every branch of the military, leading to the FBI. The FBI has to have remote viewers to solve unsolved murder cases and locations of bodies and maybe somebody that was kidnapped or money that's been buried somewhere. All of this is something that could be used in an investigation with the FBI. Why not have the assistance? And we have heard over the years, many of those in parapsychology and the gift of the mind has been involved with all kinds of criminal investigations over the years. Remote viewing in the FBI makes perfect sense. Remote viewing the CIA, remote viewing in the NSA or the NRO, Air Force, OSI, it makes perfect sense. So yes, it still happens today. And a great reference point for everybody is to go and watch The Men Who Stared at Goats. It's a great film. I often joke and say it's a documentary. It's not a comedy, but I think that is also pretty accurate. Remote viewing for a government budget and a black ops to be pushed through is not expensive at all. It's not billions of dollars. It's not millions of dollars. It's merely office salary to a salaried position. And you really don't push it much further than that. You don't need much.
I have to agree with you on that one. Izofa, I think I'm saying it right, the way Tina said it. Thank you again for another £5. It says, sorry, I'm not set up for a remote viewing right now. Need a partner who knows about the analytic overlay to ask questions without influencing and need headphones for tape. I get you.
I have no idea what that even means. I can remote view the question, though.
Well, we are going to take a really short break. Both Jimmy and I have an object on our desk for those that want to practice remote viewing. Both of the items are different. And so after the short break, we're going to go back into a little bit about kind of what Jimmy talked about in the sense of what could be remote viewed. With that being said, let's jump into this extra special announcement.
Hi there, I'm Christina Gomez, and here to tell you about this forthcoming special edition of Shifting the Paradigm. The focus is Demi Lovato's new show, Unidentified with Demi Lovato. And I've read a lot of comments and seen feedback in response to the preview of the show. But what excites me the most is that Demi's going to bring this topic to over 115 million adoring young fans on Instagram and 17 million on YouTube. And that these fans are going to be the scientists, researchers, politicians, and enthusiasts of tomorrow. They are going to be looking up with their eyes on the skies. So for me, that's fantastic. And we've got to be ready for those young, curious minds to start showing up to the podcasts, to the interviews, and the UFO communities. So with this in mind, I had questions, so I reached out to the busy executive producer of the series, Andrew Nock, to find out more in-depth details about what we can expect to see. Join me for this special edition on Sunday, the 26th of September, a few days before the first episode airs, to get the insights on who Demi speaks to, the places visited, the actual sighting events, and so many more inside details about the show.
Hi, I'm Micah Hanks, and let me tell you something. I support Christina Gomez as a Patreon subscriber, and here's why you should too. She brings all of her unique insights to a whole new generation, and all while she's also going through college. Listen, support Christina, become a Patreon subscriber today. You won't regret it.
All right, so some things that can be remote viewed are hostages, those that are in a different country that need to be found. Sometimes even secret weapons, including submarines that maybe we can talk into that happened on dry land in Siberia, along with other spies, missing people. We know that policemen have even used remote viewers to attempt and find people that have gone missing. And in many respects, it seems like allegedly that they have been successful in finding a majority of them through these kinds of people. Now, have you heard the story about the submarine that was built in Siberia?
Yes, yes. That is one of the more fascinating examples of remote viewing that has been verified. And I'm looking at the clock. I want to get as much in, but yes, we could spend the rest of the show on that. There were troop movements and weapons in Africa and revolutions and things that were going on the ground that needed to be answered. Soviet influence, all of that was figured out. And now I can get into other specifics, but my own personal experience, this is what blew my mind. Now, I've had Courtney Brown on my show many times, and he's fascinating, and he teaches, but he's got a team of viewers that work with him, including his son, that are remarkable. And I'm going to circle back to that too as well. And of course, I've had Yuri Geller on the show, and I've had Russell Targ on the show. I'm just so fascinated with this, including this incident that happened. And years ago, I'm going to go back to like 2014. I had done this thing with what is now called the Malibu underwater base, right? And so This thing happens, and it does go national. I've got the news, ABC, whatever, at my home, and it was like crazy town what the Malibu underwater base did in this community. It was a lot of fun. The research continues on that, but I had published some images of the Malibu underwater base. And one of those images that had JimmyChurchRadio.com on the image was the target for this remote viewer. And it's in an envelope. He doesn't know the target is there. And he starts going through the process of remote viewing. I don't know. I am watching a remote viewing video. I don't know. It's about me. Okay. I think I had Courtney Brown on the show that week or something whatever. And I was doing some research and I find, how to do remote viewing in the process. And it's like an hour long video. So I click on it and I'm watching it. And this guy, his last name was Reagan, by the way, great guy, is drawing. And I'm listening to him, and he's doing this, and he's figuring, and he's drawing, and he's this, and how it's, and eventually, and it's, this process goes through. It's a stack of drawings, and then and there's some kind of thing, and it's underwater, and there's another tunnel that goes back, and there's something here, and then I keep seeing it, and drawing, and then at the end he's drawing the Malibu underwater base, and pretty close. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty close. And I, as I'm watching this, I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's kind of weird. Kind of looks like the Malibu underwater base entrance in a weird way. I'm like squinting my eyes, and I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. And he goes, so that's the target. It's 1500 feet under the water. I think it's in the Pacific Ocean. It's some kind of entrance underneath. I was like, no, he's not really. Boom. They tear open the envelope, take out the picture, hold it up to the camera, hold up his drawing. And there is the picture of the Malibu underwater base with JimmyChurchRadio.com underneath it. And it was spot on. Now, it wasn't perfect, but his description about the location, what it was under the water, this, that, and his rough drawing of the entrance, as crude as it was, what he, and then you look at the photograph. Now there is something happening there. And I remember knowing that I had Courtney on the show this that particular week, the hair is standing up on my arms and on my neck, where you see this kind of verification in the process. So I turn around and I reach out to this guy, and I made a phone call or two. It might've even been to Courtney. I can't remember, but somehow somebody knew who he was. And it turns out he was a student. He wasn't certified yet or anything like that. He was in a class and he was videotaping himself, and this was part of the class. And I got to talk to him, and of course he was happy to hear from me. But he was as surprised as I was when he ripped open that envelope, and there's the picture, and it was pretty much exactly as he was verbalizing. He was trying to get out of his mind what he was being guided to, and on the paper, and drawing it with these illustrations. It was fascinating to go through the process with him. And he was just a student, a young guy. And that shows everyone, showed me, that there was something to this. I remember asking him, and this goes out to the audience, listen to me. I said, dude, can you read minds? Nope. Right? Got any special power? Nope. Ever did? No, I'm taking the class. And I was so impressed with that. So what ended up ultimately happening, Christina, is I started to have remote viewers on the show. And I've done this a lot. That's why I went back and asked why remote viewing, you know, why now with you? Because I went through this for years. And bringing on remote viewers and going through readings and their process for doing things. And there was, and we were doing things with Courtney. Stuff was happening on the East Coast, was happening in Hawaii at the same time. Both had the same targets and going off in these sessions. And we were watching them develop side by side on the screen together. And one of the things that was remote viewed were pyramids on Mars.
I'm really happy you brought that up, because that's going to lead to my next question about remote viewing when it comes to aliens, UFOs, bases on other worlds, the moon and Mars. So I'm please continue about what was seen on Mars.
Well, the what was seen was fascinating. Of course, everybody wants to know, okay, so what was going on? Okay, I'll get to that. But probably the most fascinating aspect of this is watching these two remote viewers go through the process at the same time, and what they were seeing and what they were illustrating and how they were so similar. Dax, who's amazing out in Hawaii, former Dax, everybody can go and look him up. Great musician, funny guy, cool, was a newscaster for like 25, 30 years in Hawaii. He was the guy, right? He was, you know, the guy, the Tucker Carlson, if you will, the Anderson Cooper of Hawaii. And so you see him throughout his career and watch these video, you know, watch him, you know, do the news every single night. And then turn around, and now he's remote viewing, and he has got to figure it out. So Dax has the process that they do is they have huge pads of art paper, a tablet, right, on an easel, And they're just, you know, drawing, flip the page, drawing, flip the page, drawing. And they eventually, you know, zero in on the target. And watching the two of them thousands of miles apart formulate this path forward, you know, to get to the target and how they do it. And you get to see it in real time. When I say in real time, the timestamps, you know, you're seeing them at the exact same time. They obviously can't see each other. They're not looking at each other's artwork. And one guy draws stick figures, right? Or whatever, you know, and he's got his style. And the other one may be more artistic or a different approach, but you see where they are going with this. So yeah, there they are on Mars. They've got thousands of people marching and moving blocks and building things and underground tunnel and car. They don't know that they're going to end up on pyramids, right? But it's the process that you see with throngs of people and a leader and somebody telling them. And in the end, they're both drawing pyramids and they're like, man, I guess it's a pyramid, you know, and it comes down to Mars. And you see this. If my memory is correct, they didn't have the dates right. Like, some, you know, maybe Dax was 10 million years ago. And I forget the other guy's name. It's been a few years.
There's another one called Joseph Monteagle. Are you talking about him?
Who?
Joseph Monteagle.
No. Oh, McMonagle. Oh, I love you, Christy.
Okay, yeah. Well, I even wrote it down in my notes then. Wrote it wrong.
Joe McMonagle, who, again, amazing talent. He was, Joe was Stargate.
He came later.
Yeah, okay, he was. Yeah, he came later. He wasn't the original core group. Actually, I think Joe McMonagle was who Clooney played in The Men Who Stared at Goats.
Oh, I didn't know that. But his story is, I think, one of my favorites when it comes to remote viewing. And he, in 1984, was a part of the Monroe Institute. And he went ahead and looked at Mars 1 million years BCE. Okay, so in the past. And so when he's in his session, obviously, he had no idea what he's looking at. And for those that don't know too much about remote viewing, it's you're either given coordinates or maybe a name, and that's about it. And you're not given any other information, not even the time period in a lot of respects. So you're going in blind. And there is some interesting kind of like a science aspect to remote viewing that hopefully we'll get to go into. But with Joseph, when he was given his coordinates, he stated that he saw pyramids and shadow people. And when he was talking about shadow people was when the, what are they called? The, not the instructor, but those other kind of monitor, the moderator was sitting there listening to what Joseph had to say. He said, well, can you describe these shadow people? What does shadow mean? And he was saying, well, they seem like they're from the past many, many, many years ago. And he then states that somehow this location was under some kind of geological trauma. There were these people that were there, but they were incredibly large and thin and super duper tall, wearing strange clothes that were almost skin tight clothing, which is pretty bizarre for anyone on Earth, right? So with remote viewing, you cannot allow your thoughts, like your actual thoughts, to contaminate the raw data. So that's why you have to write things down incredibly fast. Otherwise, the left side of the brain is going to start attempting to interpret what you're seeing. And then you're wrong. Whatever you're going to write down is wrong. So then he later states that he has like smooth stone walls. They were very large structures, and that there were these pyramids that not only has he mentioned, but that we've actually seen in pictures taken by NASA, these really odd structures on Mars. Well, he saw these things, and the moderator was stating, okay, well, what are these pyramids? What are they for? And Joseph states, it seems like they're possibly for hibernation, sleeping through these very, very severe storms. Because like you mentioned earlier, this location had geological trauma. So it seemed like there was very little atmosphere going on and these storms were incredibly dangerous. He then, for some remote viewers, not only can they see things or images or symbols, but they can also feel these things as well. They can get sensations or they can feel sadness or fear or sometimes even thoughts, allegedly. So he states that it seems like these people that were in this pyramid during their hibernation periods seems like they were past their due date of survival. Like they really shouldn't be alive due to what's happening in this location. He then states that he felt like these people were waiting for someone to return and to give them a new home. Then after he looks at the paper of what the location was, it stated that it was Mars, 1 million BCE. And he was incredibly shocked. And so that's kind of what I wanted to get into today, was that remote viewing doesn't necessarily have to be in present day. It's not just to find hostages, not just to find secret weapons, including the submarine story that's awesome that happened in Siberia, but it also can look into the very distant past, but it can also look into the future for people that practice remote viewing. And that's probably one of my favorite stories by them.
Now, the thing is about when we talk about Joe McMonagle, Stargate, SRI, and all of these projects, a lot of, except for Ingo, but a lot of these very interesting characters are still with us today. And, of course, Russell Targ. There is a director who's been on Fade to Black many times, and you guys can go and if you want to check any of this stuff out, you can. His name is Lance Mungia, and Lance, I have a lot of his stuff here, artifacts and things that he's given me here in the bunker. He's a great guy, but he's also a great film director, really into this community. And he did a film, he directed a film called Third Eye Spies, and based on the life of Russell Targ, but a lot of these other people that were involved with this that are still doing it today are in the film. And so Uri Geller's in the film. Dean Radin is in the film. And Dean, again, who's been on Fade to Black a few times, so is Uri, so is Russell, so is Lance. This is a subject that I cannot escape from. I am totally fascinated with it. So go and check out not only the past episodes of Fade to Black with all of these characters, but check out Third Eye Spies. Check out The Men Who Stared at Goats. When you go and watch Third Eye Spies, one of the, and I always go back to the science, one of the intellectuals in this community that I follow and respect the most is Dean Radin. And Dean Radin, when we talk about remote viewing and what it is and what it may be and how it is done, there is a very interesting part to all of this. And it is this. So I want your audience to just open up your mind for a second and try to follow what I'm about to say. You may be able to affect things in the physical. Okay. But that effect may be maybe it's remote viewing. Maybe you want to move this coffee cup from one side of the table to the other.
That's maybe not your object, right?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
No, my object, I put, so nobody could see it, in this black bag. I'm this rough. So, yeah, what is in this black bag? Now, let's say you're trying to do that. So what you are doing is you are affecting something at the atomic scale. That effect on the atomic scale is almost immeasurable. It's very slight. But once you take that and you amplify it over trillions of atoms, then that effect becomes measurable and it starts to become real. Whether you're trying to move this coffee cup, whether you're trying to see this coffee cup, or whether you're trying to remote view into this, read a deck of cards, you know, whatever it may be, that's Dean Radin's research and how he looks into this. The measurements are very, very small, but once you, if you think you're moving an atom from point A to point B, that may not be what's happening. But if you're moving trillions of atoms or looking at trillions of atoms and you're just, you know, at a very small immeasurable part of it, but you take that and you amplify it out, then it becomes real. And that's the science part. People are wanting to see, you know, telekinesis or see you making a rat fall off of a table, whatever it, you know, whatever that may be. They want this fantastical jump. Uri Geller bending spoons, right? It's a fantastical thing, or stopping and starting a watch or what have you. It's not bending the spoon. It's affecting trillions of atoms in that spoon in a very slight amount that over trillions of atoms, it starts to become a result. And that is what remote viewing is about. And Dean Radin and his research, and I think Yuri will say this too, and including Russell Targ, even Ingo Swann back in the day and Hal Puthoff today. Pat Price is another one. Oh, we didn't even get into Pat Price. That's a CIA, a very sad story. Any of them will tell you it's not this big fantastical thing where we're going to take this car and move it. You know, it's a lot of little things that happen that amount to something big in the end. Now, Pat Price, I'm going to get this right before I go and jump too far into this and get something wrong. Okay, cool. Okay. Listen to this. Pat Price, a former Burbank, my hometown, former Burbank, California police officer, and former, I can't say this word out loud because they'll come after me, but a UFO church organization that may be in your neighborhood from some guy that wrote science fiction novels. So he was one of those guys who participated in a number of Cold War era remote viewing experiments, including the U.S. government-sponsored projects Skenati and the Stargate projects. Price joined the program after a chance encounter with fellow of that religious organization at the time, Hal Puthoff, and Ingo Swann near the Stanford Research Institute. Working with maps and photographs provided to him by the CIA, Price was able to retrieve information from facilities behind Soviet lines. He was probably best known for his sketches of cranes and gantries, which appeared to conform to CIA intelligence photographs. At the time, the CIA took him seriously. So, Pat Price came in and out of the project. He came in and out of this, and I think until his death, was still working for the CIA. He was one of the most gifted remote viewers. Tragic story, tragic ending, but there is another example of what was going on. So, and what they're talking about here, cranes and gantries, were the construction sites of military locations. Missile silos, missile this, radar installations, things that were going on around the world, different countries too, not necessarily inside of the Soviet Union and the Soviet bloc. And Pat's doing these drawings. The CIA is flying SR-71s, you know, spy planes over, spy satellites, and spending all of this money doing it. And Pat's going, you know, drawing something out and giving them all of the information that they need in a drawing. And this went on for years. He was one of the most gifted remote viewers. So there you go, Pat Price.
Pat Price. Well, I would like to say hi to the Singularity Lab. What's up, Michael? I'm going to be on his show on Thursday. So if you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to his channel, to this one, and to Fade to Black. That does shows Monday through Thursday, which is amazing how you can do that every single day. It blows my mind.
What is these Fade to Black you talk about? I never heard of these. What is Fade to Black?
Well, it's your show. It would be kind of scary if you didn't know what you were talking about.
You know, it's so funny. I would have I just came off this conference this weekend. And, you know, so I've got the Fade to Black booth. And it literally says Fade to Black. That's it. I don't promote. It doesn't say radio. It doesn't have my website on it. It doesn't have this. No, it just says Fade to Black. That's all it says. And so either you do or you don't, right? That's it, right? I mean, it's no big deal. If you walk by and you go Fade to Black, oh man, cool. I love the show. All right, Jimmy, you're here. Cool. That's fantastic. What I don't have time for is somebody that comes up and goes, what is these Fade to Black? And I'll always go, I don't know.
Well,
you're sitting here. What with these? No. I'm here to sell these t-shirts for this guy. Who's the guy? His name's Jimmy. He's kind of a dick. And so I don't know. Oh, okay. So would I don't know. I don't know. I'm just an employee. I don't have time, man. Keep walking. Just keep walking.
Well, the way to any person's heart is through their stomach. So you got to make sure to have snacks at your booth, and then they'll just love you forever.
Not if they ask me what Fade to Black is. They don't get any snackety snacks. So everybody around me, right, we've had the same booth locations for years. We're all friends. It's all family, you know, and everything. But they love it. When somebody comes up and does that and I do the dance, it's some dude, man. He's kind of obnoxious. His name's Jimmy. I don't dig the guy.
I mean, look, a lot of us do. A lot of us do, Jimmy. It's all okay.
The shooting video.
K1, thank you so much for the super sticker. You're awesome. And Jimmy, you know what? I have a question for you. And that is, so, you know, I've wondered since researching this whole topic, if remote evidence is another clue that shows us that on the subatomic level, there is some kind of quantum interconnectivity. Okay.
Entanglement, if you will,
that goes beyond quantum entanglement. That goes beyond that. Oh. That consciousness and perception can be so fine-tuned that there is a literal subatomic internet that information can be transceived through space and time. What do you think about that?
I do that every time I crack open that plastic tear-off lid of Haagen-Dazs. There is an immediate connection to the universe. It's all connected. No, I fully agree with that. I think that I've had too many instances of very innocent though, where deja vu, a dream the next day, yesterday on my phone, I'm texting somebody, right? I'll call you in a few minutes. And as I start to hit the send, they're calling me. What the hell? Right now, this isn't a planned call. This isn't a planned text. Somebody was expecting to get a text from me. Or I was expecting a phone call, or we talked about it, you know, call me tomorrow. That's not what I'm talking about. Randomness. And this happened yesterday. It happened like three times with three different people in the last week where I am sending, I'll call you later, or can you call me now? Whatever it may be. And I'm getting, I haven't even texted yet. And as my thumb, my right thumb is getting ready to hit the button, the phone call comes in. And then, and so I'm watching it ring, and then I send the text, and I will get somebody, wow, that was kind of weird. You think? Right? And I'm like, look at the timestamp of that. Look at the timestamp of your call. No, I called you first. No, dude, I was texting you first. Right? And now, what does that suggest to you? What does that suggest? Remote viewing, the power of the mind, the connectivity of the universe, down to the subatomic level, knows what's going on. Absolutely. There's just no question about it. You know what bums me out? And I'm so glad that you asked me this, Christine, and that you actually think about, that you ponder this stuff is wonderful, is how many people don't give a crap. How many people have that happen to them and they don't notice it? They don't appreciate what is going on around them, that they drive to work every day thinking that that is what, that is all there is to life. You're going to drive to work. You're going to work. You're going to get back in your car. You're going to drive home at 5 o'clock where you're going to have dinner. You're going to watch a little TV. You're going to go to bed, get up, take a shower, go back to work. They're not thinking about the universe, the life, the subatomic connectivity of synchronicities, of friendship, of loved ones, of bonds, of things that are laid out in front of you as a guide path in life and an adventure that is in front of you. And they just don't think that there is anything there.
Well, right. I think that's because they just simply don't do the research. And that's why we do these kinds of podcasts that we're doing today, to stimulate people's minds on these kinds of thoughts. Because I'll be honest with you, before really going into depth with these shows that I do, I didn't really have these questions. I didn't know what the kids and kids with the black eyes were, right? I didn't know what that was. I didn't know too much about the Caloris event in Brazil. They weren't really thoughts because I never went out of my way to do the research. But now that I have, it obviously changes my perspective on life. It has shifted my paradigm. And that's why we talk about these things publicly, so that we can do the same for others, because it's definitely worth it. Instead of living in a cubicle for the rest of your life, seeing things in boring black and white, eating what, like a TV dinner, watching TV, going to bed, waking up, going to work, and then that whole cycle over again, and not having these creative thoughts, if they're real or not, regardless of that. I think just having this conversation makes a big difference. And even though we might not see it today, tomorrow, in the future, whenever that may be, people that are listening to this are going to be the future. They're going to be holding the future on their shoulders.
So King, what's his name? King Milkweed. I can't read what that says. King Milkweed just said, "Too woo woo, Jimmy, please come back." See, that is somebody right there that has synchronicities happening all day long around them and could have fun, could laugh, could follow something, think about something differently, but doesn't. You know, and I enjoy these little golden moments all day long, and they happen. And I'm able to just, wow, that was weird. Wasn't it? Yeah, man, that was cool. Wow, what was the, you know, what are the odds of that? I don't know. There's a reason for it, though. Oh, there must be. And just open your eyes and enjoy the moment. It is the universe telling you that life isn't what it seems, man. It's simply not. It's simply not. And for you, Christina, to go through life never asking these questions, or not recognizing or stopping to enjoy a moment, do you find yourself doing that now? Do you find yourself in a deja vu moment and wondering about how a deja vu happens, dreaming, and then suddenly something happens for real in your life? It's right back to remote viewing. Do you go through that now and enjoy yourself?
all the time. Not deja vu. I never had one before, but everything else, absolutely. Just enjoying those little moments, that smell of coffee in the morning, and sometimes even just reminiscing about old memories as a child and being like, wow, you know, I've been so lucky, and things of this nature. So absolutely. And having these conversations can only open our minds more to these things.
Hold on, young lady. Okay, so let's go back when you were young.
Why are you laughing?
Last week. I know it was a but at least you can remember this a lot easier than I can. But if you go back, I'm being serious for a second. Let's quit.
Okay.
I'll quit goofing around. Because I want to know. So when you're five, because I know what happened to me. When you were five, when you were four, when you were five, did you have any thoughts or any dreams of speaking into a microphone, but not understood what that was? You don't know what a microphone is. You don't know what a camera is. You know, at that age, you don't know what a live stream is. But did you ever have a glimpse of that when you were young?
No.
Really?
No, I mean, I was really obsessed at that age with Egypt and scary stories, definitely. Okay. This is the time when I used to live in Ireland. So that was really interesting, being a Latin American, the only probably brown-haired kid at the time at school. And they're like, wow, you look really weird. But No, when it came to actually talking to a mic, I never saw this coming. I didn't think I'd ever do this.
See, I did. And that's the weird part. And because when I used to have those dreams and these thoughts about being in a studio and speaking about a microphone and speaking into a microphone and consoles and stuff, this is before Benjamin Franklin, discovered electricity. So when you go, I didn't know what electricity was. It didn't exist. And, I still did homework by candlelight and matches were new. And that was such a big discovery because we got off of Flint and finally we had matches and it made life easier. But,
well, you know, for being, 100 or 200 years old, you look pretty darn good, Jimmy.
Yeah, I do.
No wrinkles.
No, I do. I'm pretty blessed there. But it's all of my black magic serums that are made in cauldrons. Yeah. In Massachusetts. See, but this is the thing. When I didn't understand what I was seeing, I didn't know what a studio was or glass. I remember I used to always be on one side of glass. I had no idea. I didn't know what that meant. It was very interesting how, once I got into radio and to, record production and that kind of stuff, the studio environment, did I only then understand what clearly was being suggested to me at a very young age. And staying on this, though, going back to the woo, I'm doing this for Milkweed. What's his name? I can't read. It's a passing by Milk Fart. What's a milk fart? Is that a real last? Oh, it's a joke name. Oh, I thought it was a real name. I was trying to think of, this is the reason for saying all of this. Deja vu puzzles me. And the reason why deja vu puzzles me is it appears to suggest the future. And an accurate version of the future. But aren't we supposed to have free will? How can...
Ooh, you're going down that rabbit hole.
Listen, remote viewing. This is the subject of this show, Christina. Remote viewing into the future, if it is to be accurate, then you don't have free will.
So let's take another path on that. We got 5 minutes or so, but let's take another path on that. So let's say Yeah. So maybe there's no free will when it comes to remote viewing, if you can possibly see the future. But if we look at maybe parallel universes, which scientists are starting to prove as being legitimate, what if those remote viewing sessions are merely one timeline? Why do you think some remote viewers might fail at seeing something that didn't really happen? Maybe it didn't happen in this reality, but it could have happened in another. And I guess that just depends on how things are turning out amongst the Earth. So I think that there is still somewhat some free will, but there are some things that seem like might possibly be set in stone.
Correct. So I've always felt, and I'm not here to offend or make people mad or make people cry, and I'm going to make some people sad, but there are others out there that are going to go, church is spot on the money, is this. You can't use the, all most people would say, you can't use the alternate timeline, parallel world bailout on this. You can't, because you can't prove the alternate timeline parallel world scenario. You can't,
but you can't disprove it either.
That's the bailout. So that's the escape route. For those out there that want to know that seeing into the future or the past with remote viewing, you got to stay in this timeline, bro. You can't, no, there's no way. Well, you know, yeah, but no, the remote view is accurate in another world. Well, save that. We need to do it right here in the real time. So what if Joseph McMonagle goes to the CIA, goes to the Pentagon and says, the Soviets have built short-range nuclear missile silos in secret in Canada, right across the border, right? In another world. What's in another parallel dimension? They're doing it, and it's going to be a threat. What is that? No, don't want to hear that. Or what if he makes this prediction and he tells them it's in another world, another parallel reality, another dimension, another timeline, and it doesn't apply to this, but the Soviets in our timeline did in secret build short-range nuclear missile silos in Canada, and they were actually there right now. Right? Wait a minute. We need this to be accurate. We need this to be real. We can't go with misinformation. And the bailout of the alternative timeline, you know, that Christina, in another timeline, you and I aren't wearing headphones. Right. We're connected with telepathy and entanglement in that timeline. We don't need headphones. Well, OK, that's cool. That's cute. Whatever. But it's not part of the reality. And there's no way to prove that.
But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, I've seen this explanation out there. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is just an excuse. But I rationalize the quantum physics now is pointing towards the multiverse possibility, the many outcome theory. But, you know, I'm really keeping an open mind to all of the possibilities.
It's one of the things that I research the most, and I'm studying. Look, I firmly believe in the multiverse, the many worlds. If you get into quantum mechanics and quantum theory, in its basics, multi-world, multiverse, parallel worlds, along with entanglement, are the very fundamentals of that science and of that research. It is. So no, I'm right there with it. What I'm saying is, don't remote view me in a session and tell me it may, well, not here, but in another world. No, save that. I'm too busy, man. Life's too short. I need to deal with this timeline.
Well, that is it for today's show. I love how it ended. I think it was perfect. And say next week, we're going to be looking into astral projection and out-of-body experiences. So that one's going to be pretty darn fun. And in some respects, a lot of people connect remote viewing with astral projection and OBEs. So that's going to be cool. Before we kind of wrap it up, do you want to tell the audience what your object was for those that wanted to remote view?
Oh, okay. Hold on. We've got 45 seconds left. Everybody type in right now what you think is in my bag.
And what do you think is on my desk?
And what do you think is on Christina's desk? Okay. I think what is on Christina's desk, a spoon.
You know what? I won't say it yet. I'll give it a good 15 seconds for everyone to make their decision, and then I can say what possibly it is. Now, for you, Jimmy, what's in the black bag? I mean, it's small, so that gave a lot away. It's a necklace? Oh, let me zoom in on that. A medallion with
my remote viewing medallion. This is what I wear when I remote view, and it's got a secret compartment that opens up a stargate, and you do this thing right here, and then this flips open, and then inside of it is a piece of element 115 Moscovite.
No way.
Yeah. And right now it's trying not to open because it doesn't want to reveal itself. But there's a little switch right here. You can see that. You flip that open, and then it slides open, and it reveals its power source.
Well, a lot of people guessed guitar picks and string, and in a way, they weren't necessarily wrong. It's about somewhat of the same size as a guitar pick, and then the string is actually the necklace part. So that's a pretty good guess.
Okay, what is it?
Mine was just a blue pen.
Oh, I was zoning in on that.
But somebody, I mean, but spoon is close. Spoon is pretty close.
You're feeling spoonage? I was feeling some kind of desk object, but I was thinking maybe it was left over from your ice cream adventure earlier. But yeah, I almost went with guitar picks, and those are right here, and I almost went with that in my Elvis box.
Nice.
My Elvis box full of these are all Eddie Van Halen guitar picks. So,
nice. Yeah. Well, what I was going to say was, Jimmy, who do you have on your show today?
Tonight is Krista Risa is with us. She is one of the stars of Extraordinary, The Revelations, the film that just won Best Documentary at the Pasadena International Film Festival. She is a star seed oracle, and she's on with us tonight. And then tomorrow night we have Timothy Alberino, also stars and is featured in the movie too as well. And he is an explorer. He's just out there going to ancient megalithic and religious sites around the world and trying to uncover our lost history and past. And that is his research, his TV shows and his books, and everything that he does is based around that. He's absolutely incredible. So that's tomorrow night.
Christina, so be there, be square.
Christina, thank you so much. Next week, astral projection, out of body, which is something that I did every day in the 80s on the Sunset Strip.
Ooh, well, I can't wait to hear the story.
Behave and be well. I'll see you out there.
Bye, Jimmy. And at Join Live today at 7 p.m. EST with Dr. Kevin Knuth, Theory of Everything, along with his calculations on UAPs on the Singularity Lab with Mr. Michael Mataluni. And when you jump over to his show, make sure to say that Christina sent you from this place to over there. And it actually just started right now, 2 minutes ago. So jump on over, make sure to like his video. And again, say that Christina sent you because why not, right? Oh my gosh, Spaghetti Lee, thank you so much for the $5. Woohoo! Thanks, Jimmy and Christina. You know, I love doing these things with you guys. I love putting in the hours of research and just being able to talk about it. Really, I mean, I listen and I learn a lot from Jimmy, but these topics are so interesting, and in a lot of respects, they're not really covered that often, at least amongst the mainstream. So kind of going over it, especially for those that don't really know much about the topic, especially for those that are in high school and in college, and definitely my younger audience, it's such an honor to be able to share all this information with you guys. Don't forget that next What day is it today? Next Tuesday is astral projection and out-of-body experience. On Friday, for Shifting the Paradigm, I have Mr. Jeremy McGowan, and I got some few gifts coming up. When I mean gifts, I mean, I don't mean like gift like memes, but a gift, like a present coming up in the near future, which I'm very excited for. With all that being said, remember to keep your eyes on the skies.